today on Life Talk.
Now, most Christians have very little understanding about the wilderness experience. It doesn't mean that God left you. It doesn't mean the promises of God aren't true, but it means that God is after something inside of us. He wants to build and forge and shape and mold something inside of us because of what's coming in the future.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
You know, one of the key markers of a wilderness experience is the trial of want. It's the test of trusting God with our desires, our needs, our longings. We see in the Bible that the children of Israel constantly stumbled over this particular test. They wanted meat instead of the manna God had provided. They griped and complained about not having water. They even went so far as to wish out loud to return to Egypt, where they claimed they had had it so good. Of course, we know they groaned in misery when in Egypt, begging God for deliverance. The one thing God tried to teach them over and over was simply to trust Him with their wants and desires. And over again, they failed to do so. Today's message is going to deal with trusting God with the desires of our heart and learning to be thankful in the midst of need. So grab your Bibles and follow along as we explore together this all-important message on the wilderness of want.
In the first passage that we read out of Deuteronomy, we find God explaining to the children of Israel what He was after in them. You know, God's after something in you and me. You know, the Bible says that God daily works within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. We're a daily God project. Do you know that? Can you say with me, I'm a God project? You really are. You're a daily project of God. You don't just get saved and go off into, you know, heaven the day you die. But the minute you get saved, God begins work in you, and it's a renovation project. And He wants to build some things in us. So everything that God allows into our life, brings into our life, is designed to build something in us that we're going to need tomorrow. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, God was after something in the children of Israel in the wilderness. He wanted to forge something into their character. So look what He says. He says, I humbled you. I humbled you by letting you go hungry. So one of the things that God allowed the children of Israel to go through in the wilderness was hunger, or what I'm going to call today want. The message today is entitled, The Wilderness of Want, or the want experience in our wilderness. The wilderness of want. They had wants, they had desires in the wilderness, and God used their wants to forge in them what He was after. Now, because we're human, we frequently find ourselves wanting, don't we? There are things we desire and cannot or do not have. And so we experience want. Now, follow this carefully. There are things we wish that we had in our lives. We desire for them to be there. We pray that God will do something about this particular want or desire. Matter of fact, most of us pray over wants. Most of us pray over what we want. I don't know about you, but I know about me that I don't really pray for others until I pray for myself, because I've got to get my own burdens off of me. So I pray about what I want, what I desire, what I need. Then I'm able to focus on other people. But most of us pray for what we want. We want God to do something for us, bring into our lives what we desire. And yet we experience lack in the wilderness. We experience some lack. What we want, even after we pray, doesn't always come, at least for a season. And we feel a lack, both by the things we need and the things that we want. We feel that lack. We're all in need of certain things in life. And there's a difference between need and wants. If I need something, I've got to have it. We go to God with our needs. And we all need food. We need shelter. We need love. Right? That's a need. But we also have wants. We want certain things that we believe once we get them, we're going to be happy. We're going to be fulfilled. And so we pray, oh God, give me this, give me that, bring this into my life. This is a want of mine, and I believe that once I have the want fulfilled, I'm going to be happier. Now, as we go through this series on the wilderness, I want to continually point to the fact that Jesus experienced the same things in his wilderness experience that we do. And one of the things we see he experienced was want. It says, as soon as he was baptized by John, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So here's Jesus following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And notice with me, the Holy Spirit led him into a wilderness experience. And there in the wilderness experience, he experienced several things that you and I do. One of them was want. He hungered. The Bible says when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, Jesus was hungry. And who could blame him? 40 days and 40 nights, that's supernatural. But it says he was hungry. So Jesus, our model, our role model, experienced hunger, want, desire, needs in the wilderness. He was tempted with both things he needed like food and things he wanted. He wanted God's power, his anointing. Because the Bible says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness where he was tempted. But when he came out of the wilderness, the Bible makes a point of telling us he came out in the power of the Spirit and began his ministry. So something happened to Jesus in that wilderness. And something happens to you and me in a wilderness. Jesus went in and experienced these things that we do. But when he came out, he began to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, teach like no man ever taught. His ministry was launched. The real action happened after he came out of the wilderness. He's our role model. Now here's the rub. It is when you and I experience a lack in any of these things that we need or that we want, and it doesn't seem like God does anything about it, that we can feel that God has failed to provide for us, and that's when we find ourselves in a wilderness experience. Man, where is God? I have this want. I have this need. I have these desires. And this is something I'm really experiencing right now. And it just seems like God's nowhere around. And why isn't he providing for me? And that's wilderness. He said, I allowed you to hunger. I humbled you. Now, most Christians have very little understanding about the wilderness experience. Thankfully, when I was young in the Lord, I had somebody that taught me that there was a real thing called a wilderness. Now, it doesn't mean that God left you. It doesn't mean the promises of God aren't true, but it means that God is after something inside of us. He wants to build and forge and shape and mold something inside of us because of what's coming in the future. From the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation, there are consistent references to the wilderness as being something God often uses in his dealings with his own people. Read it. It's everywhere. It's all through the Bible. Pastor Andrew Strom writes this of the wilderness. He said, quote, when we look through the scriptures, we see that the wilderness is often a place of spiritual crisis as well as preparation. It's the place that God sends us to before the real action begins, before we enter into the full purpose of God in our lives. Just as there must be a death before there can be a resurrection, there must be a desert place before the promised land. The wilderness is a place of trial and testing. It's a place of brokenness and full surrender to God. Listen carefully, because some of you, I'm going to save you some counseling money today. In the wilderness, the props we're used to leaning on are stripped away. Our self-reliance is shattered and replaced with a total reliance on God alone. Before we go into the wilderness, we have great confidence in me, myself, and I. When we come out, it's all about Him. Every idol in our lives is brought under the piercing searchlight of God in the wilderness. Anything you're leaning on instead of Him is revealed, exposed, and removed in the wilderness. It is a great stripping down so that you can be girt with the armor of God when you come out. Our selfish motives and ambitions are shown for what they are in the wilderness. Finally, we emerge broken, chastened, purified. Now we're ready for the fulfillment of all that God originally called us to do. So part of a wilderness experience is that of want. Now I want you to catch this. In Deuteronomy 8, God informs Israel that it was He Himself that allowed them to experience want. So Pastor Jeff, wait a minute. He's my provider. He's going to give me everything I need. Exactly. He is going to give you everything you need, but not everything you want. In the wilderness, He will provide for your needs, as we see with the children of Israel as they walked through the wilderness. Their sandals didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They were kept supernaturally healthy and strong. They got all of their needs met, their hunger, their thirst, though it came to them supernaturally, as we're going to see in a minute. That all their wants? No. God took their wants, what they really wanted, and taught them to trust Him. So it says, He humbled you and He allowed you to hunger. Now, when I read that, it might at first sound cruel. What loving father would purposely allow his children to suffer want? Yet, when we read the Bible and we see what God's intent was, we see that it was a huge act of love on His part, that He didn't give them everything they wanted. How many of you have been in Christ long enough where you can look back and say, thank God He didn't answer that prayer? I had a want, I had a desire, and boy, did I pound heaven for it. But I can look back now and thank God He said no, because He had a better plan. God was after something in their character, and He's after something in our character as well. He was after something in the development of their faith that was essential to their success in the promised land. He knew where they were going, so He was prepping them for that hour. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows where you're going to be a year from now, a month from now, a week from now. So everything He's doing in you and me now is preparing us for tomorrow's challenges. Let's remember that the promised land was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey, but it was also infested with giants that they would encounter and they must defeat in the promised land. So God says, all my dealings with you are to do you good in the end, Deuteronomy 8, verse 16. I'm going to do you good in the end. Can you say with me, do me good in the end? God is looking to the end. He's looking to the finish line. He's looking to the full maturity of our life. He's looking to what He's fully called us to do. So He says, everything I'm doing in you now is to do you good in the end. The promised land was filled with cities populated by godless idol worshipers whose pagan religions would be great stumbling blocks to Israel if they were not deeply rooted and grounded in God's word. So He was preparing them to be strong in the wilderness so they could handle the promised land. God foresaw the dangers and the pitfalls of the promised land as well as the blessings. He knew His people were going to need strong faith, were going to need deep roots in the Word, and steel-like resolve to be victorious. And God knows what you and I are going to encounter in our future. So He's building into our character and building into our faith today what we're going to need to be victorious tomorrow. Do you believe that?
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
In fact, the wilderness was designed to prepare Israel for two great tests, and we have the same tests, the test of adversity and the test of success. I want you to listen to what God says about, for instance, the test of success. Listen to what God's concern was with His own people. He says, here's why I'm taking you through this hunger, these difficulties, these trials, these challenges. Here's why. Because once you enter the promised land, that is the time to be careful. Now, I'm quoting the Bible. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time, and watch this, and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. You see what God's concern was? I am taking you through what I'm taking you through because if I don't, you won't be able to stand the test of success. You will forget who gave it to you. His message to Israel and to us was, success can destroy you if you forgot who gave it to you. And of course, this is exactly what they ended up doing. They ended up walking away from God when they were in the land flowing with milk and honey. They forgot God, turned to idols, and the very thing God was concerned about, they ended up doing. Now remember, Paul said these things were written for our examples that we would learn from them and not make the same mistakes. If you were to ask me, Pastor Jeff, what is the greatest success, adversity or success? What is the greatest trial, the greatest test? Adversity or success? I would say the greatest test is success. Because when you have so much blessing, it's so easy to forget God and lean on the blessing instead of the blesser. The faith of the first generation wilted in the face of the giants of the land. But the faith of the second generation faded away in the blessings of the land. First generation defeated by adversity, second generation defeated by success. So let's look at three things the wilderness of want is designed to build into our character and our faith. How many of you can honestly say, well, Pastor Jeff, I think at least partly anyway, I'm in a wilderness of want right now. I want some things. Let me see your hands. Come on. That's a lot of you, most of you, so I know I'm on target. The rest of you, buckle your seatbelt. You're going to need this one day. Get the CD. So here's what God wants to develop in you and me. When we're wanting, and it seems like we're just in a really dry time, tough time, trying time, and we're in a wilderness of want. We have these wants and desires, but God just hasn't allowed us to have them yet. Our needs are taken care of, but it stops right there. What is God trying to teach us? First, total dependence on him as provider. Total dependence on him. I want you to listen to what God said. He said, I allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna to teach you that even when your natural resources run dry, I can sustain you by my own miraculous power. I want you to think with me about Israel. What did God do with them? Well, they had first experienced the want of hunger. Man, we're hungry. Did you bring us out here, Moses, to die? Did you bring us out here to this wilderness so that we would just croak in the sand, having no food? Boy, we wish we could go back to Egypt where there was the melons and the leeks and this and that. And they forgot. They were crying out for deliverance when they were in Egypt. But they said, you brought us out here and there's not even anything to eat. And Moses said, all right, I'm going to pray and God's going to take care of you. And what happened? God caused a supernatural substance to fall from heaven and gather on the ground every single day, listen, for 40 long years. And they walked up to it and it looked like coriander seed. It looked like a little seed on the ground and they didn't know what it was. So they named it manna, meaning what is it? So every day they gathered, what is it? 365 days a year for 40 long years, they gathered it off the ground. But it was God's supernatural food. Now, church, think with me for a minute. What was God trying to teach them? He was trying to teach them to daily depend not on natural resources, but on his faithfulness. Because there were no natural resources. There was nothing to eat in the wilderness. So every single day, they had to believe for a miracle. Have you ever been there where every day you've got to believe for a miracle? Have you ever lived that? Where every single day you've got to say, all right, Lord, here I am. I hope you come through today. And God comes through. And what was he teaching them? I want you to learn to lean on me, not on yourself. Lean on me, not on the world. Lean on me, not on your talent. I want you to learn to lean on me. God gives supernatural food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because the devil came to Jesus and said, look, I know you're hungry. I know you have desire. I know you have wants. Turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, though I could, I won't, because I'm going to trust my Father to provide for me without my having to get it illegitimately. When Elijah was under the juniper tree, when Jezebel was chasing him, it says an angel of God appeared to him, woke him up. He said, eat this food. You're going to need it where you're going. And so he ate the food and he ran 40 days and nights under the power of one meal. Folks, believe me, that was not Wheaties. That was supernatural food. It was God's supernatural food. And with Israel here, every single day they were looking at supernatural food. I ran across a psalm. Listen to this. He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna on them to eat and gave them of the bread of heaven. I'm going to read that again. He gave them of the bread of heaven. And you know what my little Bible says in the margin? It says, men ate angels' food. Wow. He sent them food to the full. And you know what angels' food means in the Hebrew? The bread of the mighty. The bread of the mighty. It was bland. It didn't taste like some of that sugary cereal some of you eat every single day. It had no sugar. It had no sweetness. It was bland. It was like plain vanilla. But the Bible says it was angels' food. It was the bread of the mighty. Why? Because it caused them to look up and depend on God, and it made them mighty in their inner man, because they learned man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that falls from the mouth of God. So Elijah had supernatural food that he ate. Israel had supernatural food that they ate. What do we have? Here it is. Here it is. It's the bread of the mighty. Hold up your Bible. Just hold your Bible up in the air. I want you to say with me, this is the bread of the mighty. Say with me, this is my manna. It is sent from God. Say with me, it's the only book on earth that didn't come from earth. It came from heaven. Give God a hand. That's right. So see, when you come out of your wilderness experience, here's the way you come out. You come out getting into that Bible every single day. If you want to know where Jeff Wickwire is every morning, you can find me in the same chair with the same coffee, in the same place, with the same Bible, reading it. I'm gathering my manna because I know that Jeff Wickwire doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word, every supernatural word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how I go out and defeat the devil and the flesh and the world, not in my own strength, but by living in the manna of God, the word of God. Jesus said, he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, because I'm the vine and you're the branches. And if you as a branch abide in the vine, I'm going to make you bring forth fruit. So Jesus taught dependence on him daily. The disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, here's the way you pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you think he was only talking about Mrs. Baird's? No, he was saying, Lord, give us this day our supernatural manna. Speak to us out of the word of God. Because I know where I'm going, and where I'm going, I'm going to have to be able to conquer giants. I'm going to have to be able to take the land, and that's not going to happen unless the word has gotten deep down inside of me. So Jesus taught daily dependence on God as our provider. So the wilderness of want is designed to bring us to the place we make a trade-off. We trade our leaning on flesh, leaning on the world, leaning on our own talent and abilities to leaning on God and drawing from his word and feeding on his manna. So that you don't say when God blesses you, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Oh no, I know where what I have came from.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.